This evening, we're going to read a verse in Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20, and then we're going to go back over to the book of Proverbs chapter 6 for a few verses, and then we'll be over in Proverbs chapter 10 after that. So if you want to turn to Jeremiah first, Jeremiah 8, 20, and then we'll head back to Proverbs there and get into some verses there, and trust that will be a blessing and a help in the message this evening. Summertime. This is summertime. Isn't summertime great? Isn't it funny how people complain about the cold, and then when the heat comes, they complain about the heat? I try not to complain about the heat, because I think I'd rather have the heat than the cold, although I like all four seasons. And I think it's a wonderful time of the year, summertime, early stages here of summer. We've got the summer ahead of us for the most part. Warm weather, vacations, barbecues, camping, fishing for those who like such things. A slower pace of life, isn't it? Time to relax. It's what we Canadians suffer through winter to get to and enjoy. Unless you're one of those diehard Canadians that likes winter. I'm a transplanted Canadian, so I'm not quite sure I like the minus 20 degree stuff and too much snow yet, although I like a little bit of it. But we enjoy these, the long summer days. The days are light for longer. And we enjoy those things. And what a blessing it is to think about the fact that God said that as long as the earth is here, day and night, summer and winter, springtime and harvest will not cease. So we've got winter, we've got summer, we've got this until the Lord comes back, until after the Lord makes things new, and then who knows what the environment will be. But in the meanwhile, we can enjoy summertime. It's here and enjoyable as it is. Enjoyable as summertime can be, and it should be that way. As believers, though, it can also be a detrimental time to our faith. It can be a time of not strengthening, but of weakening of our faith. The words of Jeremiah 8:20 say, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Sad words that were mentioned about Israel and by Israel. In our text here, Israel found themselves at the end of summer bemoaning their state. Their summer had not been productive as far as getting right with God. They had become placent in their faith. If we had time to look back, and earlier in the chapter even, it's mentioned some of the things that they were involved in and so on, and how God had tried to get the message to them, to heed his word, even back to chapter 6, that he said to them, "I told you to stand in the ways and ask for the old ways, the good ways," but they said, "We will not walk therein." And yet they complained at the end of summer that life was just the same. Life was, as it were, it had been a wasted summer. For a Christian, that relaxing, slower pace, more lax schedule sometimes can negatively impact our Christian life. Relaxed schedules can sometimes mean neglected fellowship with God at home and at church. Because it's summertime. And who doesn't like, if you sat outside on a day like today, it's tempting just to say, wow, it's getting time for church, but this is so nice just to sit here and relax. It's nice. We enjoy that summertime, and that relaxing schedule can negatively impact our Christian life and our faith, our schedule. Normally we say, well, it's Sunday night, I'm going to church, but sometimes in the summer, well, it's a nice day, it's a nice afternoon, we could go and do this and that. It's so easy to miss time with God and miss time in church. Summertime can develop into new habits that don't include the time for God that they ought to. Our summer attire has less room to carry gospel tracts and the opportunities to witness. Though they are more prevalent in the sense that we see people more often at this time of the year, it's easier just to say, oh, maybe next time, tomorrow, next week, next time we'll hand out that tract. Next time we'll talk to that person and make mention of the Lord. As we miss church, the money in our pockets is tempted to be redirected to personal things of enjoyment rather than the Lord's work, where at least some of it belongs according to what God told us in his word. See, it's summertime. It's easy just to say, well, you know, we'll just take it easy and relax. The warm weather makes it easy to be lax in the modesty of our apparel. With vacations, we may not see some of our brothers and sisters in Christ so much, and the closeness of our fellowship wanes a little bit, and then it's easier when fall comes back around to say, well, you know, we haven't seen them that much, we haven't had the opportunity to be there, and so it's easy for those things to slip in and come into our life. Good things that have all of a sudden begun to put a distance between you and the Lord. The summertime is an enjoyable time, a great time, but we need to be aware. Unfortunately, as much as the summertime is wonderful, it's a time of many casualties in the Christian life. Some who in the springtime walked with God stray in the summer and are absent in the fall. But it doesn't have to be that way. God gave us summertime to enjoy. It is a time we all need to relax. We need vacations. We need relaxing times. We should enjoy the nice fresh air and enjoy being outside and enjoy God's creation and so much. But I would remind us tonight with the title of the message, Don't Waste Your Summer. You know, I think that's what Israel did, really, didn't they? They wasted the summer. They wasted the opportunities that they had. They spent the time when they should have been using it to draw close to God to allow them to get further away from God. There are several verses in the Bible that talk about using our summer wisely. And we'll go back to Proverbs chapter 6 to look at the first one here. In Proverbs chapter number 6, you may be familiar with Proverbs chapter 6, at least when you see it, you may say, oh yes, I remember those verses. In Proverbs chapter 6, thinking about the summertime, we learn the wisdom of the ant. I don't know about you, I don't often think about ants being very wise things. They're annoying nuisances sometimes that we crush underfoot without thinking too much about them. But Solomon, who the Bible records as being the wisest man in history, advocates that we consider the wisdom of the ant, that little six-legged insect that we like to say, I don't want those things. We had a bunch of them around here. We had put those little ant traps to catch them, to get rid of them, and they can be a nuisance. But here we're told to consider the wisdom of an insect that seems to be very wise. Its wisdom is seen in its industriousness. Look at Proverbs 6, verse 6. It says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The ant. What can we learn from the ant? The Bible talks about the ant and summertime here in the same portion of the scripture. It provides its meat in the summer. I realize tonight, this evening, that the ant is self-motivated. You see what it says there? The ant has no guide or overseer. It doesn't have a boss to report to. It doesn't have a time clock to clock in at. And yet, it industriously goes about the job that it's supposed to do. You know, as Christians, we really have nobody except for the Lord overseeing our devotion to Him, do we? I mean, we have one another. We have pastor and Sunday school teachers kind of keeping tabs with their Sunday school students and so on. But really, they're not our boss. They can't make us walk with God. In the summertime when we're on vacation, it seems a little bit even more so because it seems like maybe there's less spiritual overseers because we are vacationing sometimes. We are away and we're out of town and we're visiting, and so there's sometimes less interaction with one another who help ourselves to keep accountable to the Lord. But God says here, go to the ant and consider her ways, and she has no guide, overseer, or ruler, and yet she provides her meat in the summer. I believe that the Lord is trying to teach us here that as believers, we need to recognize that we need to take the initiative in our Christian life. We have to take the initiative to walk with God, to choose to serve God, and to take the initiative in our walk with Him. We need to learn to have a personal walk with God by our own discipline and our own choice. See, we come to church and we are preached to, And God gives a message to the preacher to bring to you, and you listen to a message. God, of course, deals with the message to the preacher before the preacher preaches it to you. But at the same time, you have to say, I will listen to what God wants me to listen to, and I will take heed to it, and I will do something about it. The ant has nobody overseeing it, but it's busy doing what it's supposed to do. The Christian needs to take the responsibility upon him or herself to walk with God and to serve God. Keep your finger here in Proverbs and go back with me to Psalm 55. Psalm 55 is one of numerous examples of where the psalmist makes declarations, and people in the Bible make declarations about their own desire, their own intentions to serve God. Psalm 55, verse 16 says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. See what the psalmist says there in verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God. That's a personal decision that says it doesn't matter who tells me what to do or whatever. I am going to call upon God. I'm going to make a choice to have a prayer time with the Lord, to spend some time with God. I'm going to call upon him, the psalmist said, three times in the day, evening and morning and at night and at noon. Remember Daniel? Daniel chapter 6, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel, before he was cast into the lion's den, we know that his enemies had talked to the king and said, King, you need to make a decree that nobody can ask any favor of any god or person except for you for 30 days. They did it because they wanted to get Daniel, because they knew that Daniel's practice was to pray to God. And so the king signed the decree, not thinking about Daniel, who was one of his favorite leaders and men. And so the decree was signed. But what does Daniel 6:10 tell us? It says, Daniel went as his manner was and prayed to the Lord three times a day. You realize that it says, as his manner was. Who was making him do it? Nobody. As a matter of fact, it was against the law to do it. But he had chosen, he had made a decision, like the ant that had no guide, overseer, or ruler to say, I will walk with God. I will pray to my God. I will talk to him every day. Jesus told us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's up to the choice that we have to make, isn't it? Am I going to do what Jesus says and seek God first every day? It's a personal choice to make walking with God a priority. Nobody can make you spend time with God in a meaningful way. You must do it for yourself. At all times, but in the summer especially, we need to guard our hearts. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 4:23 to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's a personal choice that we have to make. Nobody else can do it. Go back to that fellow Daniel again. Remember the beginning of the book of Daniel, when Daniel was taken captive, just a young man, captive in a strange land, and he's placed with good food to eat? But it was against his religion. It wasn't what he was supposed to have, and he knew it. But hey, who else knew? His parents weren't there. His priest wasn't there. The prophet wasn't there. He was in captivity, and he was being treated well as a captive. And yet the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat. Daniel took ownership of his own spiritual life, and he said, I will do what is right in the sight of God, no matter what anybody else does, no matter where I am, no matter who else knows, I am going to do what is right in the sight of God. Job said in Job 31:1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, I made the covenant with mine eyes. I took responsibility for myself, what I'm going to watch, what I'm going to do, what I'm going to look upon. I made that decision for myself. Joseph chose moral purity. Again, a captive, a slave, taken far away from his home and the last memories that he had of his family. Kill him. No, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. Let's make some money on him. That's how much he was despised by his brothers. And there he finds himself in Egypt, sold as a slave. It's working out well for him, and the his master's wife seduces him. Who is there to say, I shouldn't do this? The Egyptian people didn't serve the God of Israel. Joseph was there. Who would have ever known? But Joseph said, when he was seduced, he said, I cannot sin against my Lord. See, taking a personal responsibility for his walk with God and for his own morality and so on. See, the success or failure of our Christian life is really in our own hands. I don't say that in the sense that we don't need God. Believe me, we need God. But I'm saying that we need to recognize that we need him. And we need to set some things in our life to say, I'm going to choose to do what is right. I'm going to learn some wisdom from the ant, which has no guide, overseer, or ruler. And I'm going to be diligent in my walk with God, in my service for God, in my daily life, and watching out for the things that I do to guard my heart. We must choose to be witnesses of the Lord ourselves. We know the commands of Scripture to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But Jesus told his disciples, listen, you have to lift up your own eyes and look on the field and see the harvest. Jesus knew it was there. He said, you got to lift up your own eyes and look and see. You got to take some responsibility on this for yourself. In Acts chapter 17, verse 2, we find a story of the Apostle Paul, and he went into a particular place, believed it was Thessalonica, if my memory serves me correctly, and the Bible says, as his manner was, he went into the synagogues, and he preached Christ, testified of Christ. See, his manner was to be a witness for the Lord. Who was making him do it? Nobody. He just determined before the Lord that he was going to share the gospel, and he made sharing the gospel a part of his life. You know, the ant has nobody making it do what it does. It just does it. If we would be wise, we would do the same thing this summer and beyond. To say, I need to take responsibility for my walk with God, for my service for God, for my life and how I live it out. Because nobody's going to make me do something. But I want my life to be right with the Lord. So the ant, we can learn from the ant because the ant is self-motivated, but we also learn from the ant because it provides its food in the summer. It takes the opportunity to get food while it's available. We all recognize the need for rest, and so does the Lord, but a rest from labor isn't necessarily a rest from spending time with God. On the contrary, we can follow the ant's industrious nature and use the time off work or school or of our regular schedules to be spiritually beefed up. See, the ant says, it's summertime, I need to prepare my food because winter is coming. How does that little tiny, tiny thing, someone will use the tiny, know that? God has given it that innate knowledge to do that. But Christian, what better time to use to spend with God than when we have more time? When we have 8 hours less of structured time, maybe, that we can structure some more time to learn about our God. I think the problem in our lives may be that sometimes we equate our time with God as being a chore or work rather than pleasure. So when we have times of pleasure, times of vacation, we say, well, now I don't have to do that same old thing that I do every day and read my Bible and pray before I go to work or before I go to school or when I come home or whatever, because we think, well, that's part of that chore. No, that's not part of that chore. It's part of it's the blessing. It's the opportunity that we have. Often we use vacation to visit friends and family, and we say, hey, I got time off. I can go and visit some friends and family. Wouldn't it be great to say, I've got some time off. I can open my Bible and spend a few more minutes there. I got some time off. I can spend a little bit more time in prayer. I got some time off. I can talk to some people about the Lord. I don't have to worry about getting back to the job. I can use a few more minutes to do the things for the Lord that I should be doing. Proverbs 30, verse 25, again tells us that the ant is not strong, but it's exceedingly wise. That's quite a statement, isn't it? An ant is exceeding wise. Because again, she prepares her food in the summer. preparing for the winter while the food is available in the summer. If we would be wise, we would use the time we have in the summer to spend time with God so that when the busier times come, maybe we don't have quite as long a day each day to spend time with God, but we've got some things that we can meditate on that we've learned during the time when we had more time, so that when we have less time, we can spend more time meditating on those things that we've learned because we've stocked up, ready for the winter time. Ready for the fall. 1 Samuel 7, verse 3 tells us that Samuel told Israel to prepare their hearts to seek God. Prepare their hearts to seek God. You know, we can say, well, the fall is usually a good time for building the church. The fall is a time where people get back into church after summertime, and people have been away and vacations and all different things are going on in the fall. Hey, then let's use the summer to prepare our hearts to seek the Lord so that when the winter comes, when the fall comes, we're ready to go at it. In 2 Chronicles 12, 14, Rehoboam, the Bible says he did evil in the sight of the Lord because he failed to prepare his heart to seek God. It's a pretty powerful statement, isn't it? He did evil because he failed to prepare to seek God. In 2 Chronicles 19:3, the Bible speaks about Jehoshaphat, and it says of Jehoshaphat that he was commended because he prepared his heart to seek God. There's two opposite ends of the spectrum. You've got Rehoboam, who did evil because he didn't prepare his heart, and you've got Jehoshaphat, who did right and was commended of God because he did prepare his heart to seek God. Where are you going to get your strength for the winter times of your life? Because the winter times of our lives come, don't they? That's not just the season that starts in December and ends in March. The winter times of our life come at any given time, any moment, they come. The drier times, the times of adversity, the times of the winds that seem to prevail, and so on. But if we would use the summertime of our life to prepare now to seek God, to learn His Word, and to walk closely with Him, then we'd be ready for the winter times. We'd have some spiritual fat, shall we say, built up, you know, ready for the winter time. Some things to chew on throughout the difficult times, perhaps. So many people stray from God, and when the tough times come, they realize their hearts were not in tune with God like they ought to be and like they ought to have been, and they're like, oh no, I need to draw closer to God. Well, praise God that those times have that effect, but wouldn't it be better to say, man, I'm glad that I'm walking with God because now these difficult times are here. I know He's with me. I know He's walking with me, and I remember those verses, those things I've learned over this last while that'll help me to get through this difficult time of my life. See, this little creature, this little insect teaches us to prepare our food in the summer. God has given many animals the instinct to prepare for winter by storing up their food. Shouldn't we learn the same kind of thing for ourselves in our spiritual lives? Don't we hear it all the time when on all the financial advisors, what do they tell you? They say, save up so that you have a month's worth of salary in the bank. And they say, so many people are living paycheck to paycheck. Yeah, well, that's me. I'm paycheck to paycheck too. But, you know, what do they say? They say, save up so that if something happens, you're ready for it. You're prepared for it. Well, Christian, save up, so-called, feast in the Word of God when you have the time, when you have the opportunity, because when those leaner times come, you'll have something to feast on during those times. You'll have lessons you've learned from God so that you're ready for those things. The other thing that the ant teaches, of course, is not to be lazy. It says in verses 9 to 11, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Say, how do you know this is still talking about the ant and all that? Well, because it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, in verse number 6. So verse 9, 10, and 11 are just continuations of the same thing. They're saying the ant is not lazy, so don't you be lazy either. We are warned not to be lazy, and I believe we could apply the laziness or not being lazy to many areas of our life. We ought to be diligent at our jobs. As Christians, we ought to be a good testimony by being a good job, not being lazy employees. We could say we ought to be good students, not being a lazy student, but I believe that it would be appropriate to make the application that we shouldn't be lazy Christians too. Not lazy in our walk with God. The ant is industrious, getting the job done that needs to be done. You know, it's said that ants can lift, depending on whose statistics you go by, but it's pretty common statement that ants can lift at least 50 times their own weight. That means I would be lifting, math is, I have to give Kevin the numbers and he can figure it out before the end of the service, but he probably figured it out pretty quick. But anyways, it would be a lot of weight, wouldn't it? 50 times your weight. Some said that ants can lift 5,000 times their weight. I don't know what that, how do they know? Do they weigh the ant and they weigh what they see it carrying down the sidewalk? I don't know, but it's obvious when you see the ant carrying something, you see this little tiny thing and it's carrying this big thing and you see it and you think, man, I feel like squishing that ant, but I feel bad doing it because it's working so hard, right? They're not lazy little things, are they, those ants? Christian, we have God on our side and we can lift far more than our weight too in his strength. Remember, he said that in his strength we are made perfect in our weakness. The problem with many believers is that we're lazy believers. We say, oh, that's too hard for me. I can't do that. I don't understand that part of the Bible. I don't understand this. I can't do that. Is it really that we can't, or is it really that we are just kind of being a little bit lazy? And I say we because I think it's something that impacts every one of us. Usually too lazy to read and really study God's word for ourselves as Christians. You know, we have so much at our disposal today to be able to help us to study the Bible. We've got it electronically. We've got, thesauruses to understand words. And we've got all kinds of concordances. We can look up words. But do we? Or do we just read it like a novel and carry on our way? Often too lazy to earnestly pray for our needs and the souls of men, and then we wonder why we are so weak in our Christian life, because perhaps it's because we were too lazy to really pray. Sometimes too lazy to get up and simply go to church. Many times too lazy to put ourselves out to help others or to share the gospel with others. You say, preacher, that hurts. I know it hurts me too, because I have to say it, it's of myself. I think as a generation of Christians today, we're probably one of the laziest generations of Christians that there's been, because as people, we're lazier than we typically have been over the years. We've got so many technological advances. We spend so much time doing so many other things. And these lazy traits are showing up in the condition of Christianity today, so weak. If we're lazy as believers and fail to follow the example of the ant, we'll be spiritually impoverished and we'll fail in our Christian life. We'll fail to be the testimony of God's grace that he calls us to be. We'll fail to stand the tests and temptations that come our way. Tonight I say to you, let's learn from the ant. Let's be self-motivated. Let's learn from the ant. Let's prepare for winter. Let's use this summertime of our life when things are a little bit more relaxed to say, I'm gonna learn a little bit more about God this summer. I'm going to learn a bit more about God's word this summer. Let's not be lazy in doing what we should do for the Lord even during these summer months. But just quickly, in chapter 10, we find another application of the summertime and similar thoughts, but a little bit different. We've learned about wisdom from the ant. And now we have the wisdom from the youth. In Proverbs chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. Verse 5, he that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. We're told about a wise son who gathers in the summertime, the time of the harvest. We could make application and go back. We just did that, though, about the ant, saying he's using the summertime to prepare for the winter. And certainly that would be true. We already made that application with the ant, and so we think of a couple different things here with the youth, and that is, I believe, he makes use of his strength. See, the one spoken of here is the son. And I know sons come in all ages and sizes, because every man is a son. No matter how old you are, you're a son. But I think in the context of the scripture here, it would be fair to say that God is talking about a younger person. a wise son whose father is still alive, whose father probably runs the farm or the vineyard and is looking to his son for the strength to do the things that need to be done. To gather the crops took strength, especially depending on the crops. This person used his strength to bring in the crops. An older person may not have any longer had the strength to do that. They may not have gotten the crops all in before it was too late. An older person may not have had the strength to bring in the crops at all. You know, God is calling us in our youth to serve him in the summertime of our life. Ecclesiastes 12 tells us to remember our Creator in the days of our what? In the days of our youth. To use our strength to serve God. There are things that we can do for God in our youth that we won't be able to do later on. Wisdom says, use the strength you have now, however much it is, to serve God. He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. He's using his strength when the strength is needed to harvest. The world says, take your youth. Go party, go live as you want, go be goof off for a few years and then get serious when it matters and then start straightening things out. Live for yourself while you have the opportunity and responsibilities are less. Sow your wild oats now and get serious later. But God says, use your youth to serve me. Use your youth to do the labor that needs to be done. There's so many to reach, and the time of the harvest is drawing nigh. And we would have to say that we, in the summertime, we need to use this summertime, our youth of the summertime, to get something done for God. There's wisdom of the youth in using his youth, and also the wisdom because he makes makes use of the opportunity for increase. Again, the summer is equated to the harvest, a time of ingathering and increase. We understand this because our summertime is also a harvest time, isn't it? We don't just have harvest in fall. We have harvest all throughout the summer. Strawberries, I think they're probably getting close to being done. Strawberry, we're in the middle of summer, and it's strawberry season. Raspberry season, I think, is here, if not very soon. And it's always an enjoyable season for me. I love raspberries, and it's nice to have fresh raspberries. It's the summertime. It's the harvest is summertime. The time to harvest is when the crops are ripe, not before. And not after. If the farmer waits until he has time, it may be too late. He has to make time to say, I'm going to be busy now because now is the time of the harvest. It says here, the son who sleeps in harvest causes shame. Why? Because perhaps the people walk by and they see a field that should have been harvested, that the stuff is ruined. And they say, where was the young man that lives there? Why wasn't he out harvesting that field? Or maybe they walk by and they see the old farmer himself trying desperately to get the things done, and they think, where's his son? It's a shame that his son is not helping him to bring in those crops. Christian, we have an opportunity today. Now is the time to serve God. We have the freedom and we have the opportunity. Now is the time to reach the lost. It's the day of grace, and now it's summertime, and we may have that extra little bit of time that work isn't quite as pressing. Let's not just say, oh, great, I can just take it easy and not worry about it. Let's say, let's take this opportunity to use my strength to serve God. If we wait until it's convenient to serve God, the harvest will be past. As noted earlier, Jesus told his disciples to look on the fields. Why? Because it was ripe unto harvest. There was no time to wait. The time was now. The wise youth gathers in harvest, not sleeps. Tonight we're challenged not to waste our summer, but to use it well. Say, it's summertime. I just want to relax. Amen. We need to relax. We need some time off of the schedule and the routine. Well, let's not take time off God. Let's, as a matter of fact, use the time extra that we have in the summer to spend a little bit extra time with God. As the schedule's relaxed, determined to spend some time with him rather than spending less time, determined to spend a little bit more. Use it as a time to reach others. more people are out and we see our neighbors more, we see different people more, and we have a little bit more time to speak to them, let's use those opportunities. Use them as an opportunity to give faithfully to the Lord as we have the opportunity to do so. See, we learn from the ant, and we learn from the sun to use wisdom during the summertime so that we don't waste the summer.